Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, team. We got a hold of the Yoshi IP. Very, very exciting that Nintendo let us take Yoshi into our care. And we're going to be making Yoshi Frontiers. This should be a lot of fun. An open world Yoshi game. It's about time.
Yeah, there's so much we can do with the character, you know, that hasn't really been explored, you know, so I'm really excited to put Yoshi into some situations that he's not really been in before.
Such a fun, colorful, vibrant character that kids love. Yeah. It'll be great to see what Yoshi and the other Yoshis are get up.
Guys, I've prepared a PowerPoint presentation with some of my ideas here for Yoshi Frontiers.
Oh, wow. I love it.
If we could dim the lights and hit that music track. What am I? Says white text on a black screen. Am I horse? Am I alive? What am I? We fade up on a gray landscape that extends in all directions. Yoshi, bright green, but out of place. No longer can speak with his traditional brum. He can only say one word. Loss. Something's happened to Yoshi. Every time he interacts with characters that appear like fog and mist from the distant past, they are memories to him. Long dead. How long? He doesn't know. Mario says, "Hello, a friend. It's good to see you." And Yoshi replies, "Loss."
Is that the last slide?
Yeah, that's some of the, I mean, there's some supplementary materials here about how Yoshi's going through a divorce. Yoshi can no longer lay eggs, but instead ejects like ash, like the long burnt ash of a building.
I was wondering why your wedding photos were such a prominent part of the PowerPoint, and now I'm starting to connect the dots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody experiences, you guys have seen Mad Men. We know that the way that a human being connects to their own family is the way that we connect a product.
And we've
all seen Mad Men.
What person hasn't experienced loss?
Truly upsetting.
Where's the car? Why won't you answer the door? Carol, answer the fucking door. Huh?
All that said, if we could make the player feel all those emotions while controlling Yoshi and his famous extendable tongue, I think we'll have game of the fucking year. Let's ship it. We speed draw circles and collect and collect and collect as we play, you play modern Sonic the Hedgehog update Sonic Frontiers this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to Get Played. I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
I'm Nick Weiger, just coughed off mic, along with our third host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Premier Video Game Podcast, where we're talking about video games from the past, present, and future. And boy, oh boy, do we have a delightful episode in store for you today.
What an episode we have. What a guest we have with us. Always exciting to have someone else in the studio.
Oh, easily yeah. My favorite guest and our first guest.
It's true.
We have other guests who listen to the show.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck
those
guys.
They're going to be like, I'm not the favorite guest.
I don't give a fuck.
We sort of nailed it first try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have
shit,
to have anybody.
Blank checks David Sims.
Yeah. Sorry, Scirocco Dunlap.
I am going to lord this over those triple click assholes. I am going to be insufferable.
Everyone's nice and is our friend.
our guest today, a writer and comedian. He's one of the writers behind the new Archie horror comic, Chilling Adventures Presents Pop's Chocolate Shop of Horrors, which releases March 22nd, pre-order today. Eisner nominee, Jordan Morris.
Hi, guys. Great to be here. Talking about a game. my feelings about oscillated wildly between positive and negative each individual second.
We are going to get into it, but it is very much like I had a similar thing, much like Sonic doing a full 360 loop. I was like, do I love this? Is this a mess? And we'll see where I landed. Jordan, thanks so much for being back here. I have a question for you because this is somewhat related to the games. The game we're discussing today. But I know you've been gaming for a long time. I know we're similar in age. How do you feel about 2D versus 3D? Because I was surprised this game has some 2D sections.
Yeah, I like that we get both. I like that we're in a world now where, you know, you can have your Shovel Knights, you can have your Celestes,
right.
But you can also have these kind of, you know, bigger budget, more AAA, you know, Mario games. Yeah, I think it's great that we get both. And I know that, like, when games went 3D, that's when it left a lot of people behind. Like, if you're talking to somebody who, like, grew up in the 80s and 90s, like, having to control the camera is, I think, where a lot of people got left behind with video games.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the fact that you can just have, you know, those classic 2D side-scrollers that are a little more approachable for folks that, you know, just kind of, that maybe did most of their gaming in the 80s and 90s.
Right. I play so many 3D games. I think I still have such a fondness for 2D games. I've said before on the show that I have, like, my favorite perspective, I think, is an isometric perspective. I just love an isometric game. But I know Matt is like a guy, like, you know, he's the youngest of us.
I love an isometric perspective is like the video game version of if you ask someone if they like dogs or cats better and they're like, I like ferrets. It's like, okay.
What do you like? Shooting games or fighting games? I like dating sims. Yeah,
right.
That's me. Those are my gaming tastes.
Yeah.
Matt, you like 3D. You're more of a 3D guy.
Yeah, you know, that's, I guess, what the console generation that I was raised on was the first PlayStation. So most games that I would play, like, were already in that zone. I probably had seen, like, 2D games, but I probably, like, played, like, my first 2D Mario when I was, like, a little bit older. I was like, oh, like, I'd seen it and obviously knew it as, like, a reference base, but hadn't, like, got my hands on one until, like, the Game Boy Advance, probably, and played Super Mario World. Was my first Mario, I think.
I saw a graphic going around, I don't know, Twitter, Reddit, who the fuck knows?
Truth Social, I don't know where I see these things.
Truth Social, here, I'll share it with you guys. And it sort of breaks down the console generations by Gen X, Millennial, and Zoomer, but also subdivisions within that of early Gen X, core Gen X, late Gen X, etc.
Right.
And the idea...
I love that these generations are getting even more micro-divided up. Like,
yes.
I think I learned that I'm an Xennial.
Oh.
A Xennial? Yeah.
Based on consoles, I'm kind of, I'd fall into the late Gen X just by the presence of the NES there.
Yeah, I think so.
And I guess, I don't think that's a Commodore 64, but there's, you know, those are kind of the first things I played video games on.
You got a Master System in there?
Yeah, Master System's there.
I think is funny is the difference between core millennial and late millennial. And it seems to be a subdivision of 2 years because in core millennial, you have Saturn, PlayStation, N64, and the Game Boy Color, and Windows 98 listed as a gaming platform.
Yes.
Late millennial is Windows 2000. So it's a 2 year difference between core and late.
Yeah.
It's so funny to see those Windows logos in there. It's like, late millennials don't know shit about Ski Free.
Yeah.
you wouldn't know how to play Minesweeper.
I also feel like that's like kind of to me, looking at that and remembering PC gaming of the 90s and 2000, like that's someone who, this was graphic was made by someone who like is a little younger because they have Microsoft like Windows like 4.1 in there, 4.0 in there. It's just like, that was not a good... The Windows 3.1 was not like a good gaming platform. You're still playing those games on MS-DOS, and MS-DOS is not represented. And then they have like Windows 2000 there. It's like Windows 2000 was like for corporate use. You weren't playing video games on Windows 2000.
Also, there's no Macintosh represented here. Like there's like the Mac.
Where's the Amiga?
A gaming platform. Prince of Persia was out on the original Mac. You know, like that's a... That's a game with a lot of longevity, and it's just not, they were like, core Gen X, I don't know, they played on 8-tracks with a television that turned a knob.
This graphic was clearly made by a late millennial.
No matter how bad something is, there's always someone who's nostalgic for it.
100%.
Yeah, I'll bring up Space Jam.
Sure.
Space Jam, not a good movie.
No, but of course... I had the sheets.
Sorry, man. I was subtweeting you there.
That's okay. No, it's I fell for the trap. I mean, but I don't like it. I just remember it. It's like it's one of those things where I have enough distance from it. I think actually watching Space Jam 2 made me realize that I don't like Space Jam. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
It seems like you're in a good place with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with Space Jam. But I did have the sheets. It's true. And I wish I still did. They were really great.
I don't think I had any themed sheets. I wish I had. I wish I'd had like themed sheets. Like Jurassic Park sheets.
Oh,
oh man, that would have been great.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Kiss the raptors before you go to bed at night.
Night night.
That'd be awesome.
Good night, my boys.
Good night, clever girls. It'd be cool if they had grown up themed sheets, like if you could get Tar sheets.
Oh, cool. My Better Call Saul sheets.
I think, Jordan, I think that's $1 million idea. No joke.
Yeah.
Like that is easily a business that you could scale and then sell to Me Undies or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
All of Weiger sheets were cum themed, right?
They come pre-stained, so you have an excuse. Like, oh no, these are these pre-stained sheets. And they weren't themed. That stained, though.
It's the theme that bothers me about it. Like, because that implies other things,
right?
That are like cum adjacent.
Yeah, it's like IP.
Because if you had a Power Rangers themed birthday party, there would be the hats, there would be the cake plates.
Right.
So to say
Rita Repulsa.
There you go.
Scary.
Zord, you know, party blowers. To say cum themed implies that there's a line of cum
mostly
products.
Cum, but also piss and shit.
Yeah, they're part of it. It's a bodily function themed party.
Right.
Yeah. They're all friends. They hang out.
It's a shared universe.
I'm watching our subscriber numbers go down while we're having this conversation.
It's fucking disgusting. And I didn't even start this.
No.
I'll just say.
It was my fault.
It did not come from me.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Hey, listen, if somebody brings up Tar, you're going to be talking about cum.
I've been angling for Lydia Tar in Fortnite. That would be fucking my dream. Let's Jordan, I want to ask because I've been playing Sekiro, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I know you're a big fan of FromSoft games. Are you first off, like, how do you kind of rank them? Where do you put them in your head? Like, what are your favorites? If you have any sort of order, and then are you looking forward to Armored Core?
Yeah. So on the topic of ranking the FromSoft games, mm-hmm. I think this will get across my feeling about them. Is that Sekiro is my least favorite FromSoft game, but it is still one of my favorite games of all time.
Oof.
I can rank them with the understanding that I think they are all 10s. I think they are all 10 out of 10. There's not a bad one in the bunch, starting from Demon Souls. I, you know, cannot comment on the King's Field games or whatever, which are apparently in continuity if you consider the presence of the Moonlight Greatsword. I watch a lot of lore videos. I love all the FromSoft games, starting from Demon's Souls. I think Bloodborne is my favorite. It just has like a, you know, sentimental place in my heart. Might be my favorite video game of all time. And obviously Elden Ring was, a mind-blowing masterpiece.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for Armored Core. I've never played one before. I kind of got the impression that the, you know, PS1, PS2 Armored Cores were a little janky. I'm just so into FromSoft. They have like eclipsed Capcom as the video game company I have the most affection for.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm just kind of into seeing whatever they do. And if, you know, Armored Core has some, you know, Souls-like mechanics in it, I'm in.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, hey, maybe you'll be playing Armored Core someday soon. I imagine you will. But right now, my question for everyone is, what are you playing?
What are you playing? Hey!
hey, Resident Evil Merchant.
Yeah,
we have
great
a
to
guest.
See you again, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, we have a guest today.
It's been a while, Jordan. It's nice to see you, too.
Did you, hey, you fell out of a plane, right?
No, I brought the plane with me.
Oh, okay. Great to see you up
it was
and around.
A rough end to 2022, but we've turned it around in 2023.
Yeah, I know we talked about starting that book club together. You still want to? Do you want to get back into that, or are you just too busy?
My eyes can't focus on words.
Okay.
So I do it for audiobook.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
I listen to an audiobook on half speed.
Oh, God. Oh, you're one of those.
I like the low voice.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I can think of some books that you maybe might want to read. Like, I'm just thinking about things like Atomic Habits, you know, things to just kind of get your life in order. And that's not a judgment call. I'm just sort of saying, like, you know, we all have some concern for you, and it feels like the power of positive thinking. I don't know. Maybe some sort of self-help guide might be the way to go.
Eat, Pray, Love, maybe?
That'd be a fun one.
I do own two books.
You do?
What are they?
Yes. Who Moved My Cheese?
Fun.
Which is a really waterlogged copy. like the pages are warped. Found it on the street. And then, of course, I own Dianetics. So those are my classic. Two books. They give those out for free with coffee.
I got handed a Scientology leaflet getting on the train the other day. They're just that. Yeah, you can just get that information out there.
They're still up there.
You have to pay eventually, but it's free.
I once stayed in an Airbnb where there were a lot of Scientology books on the shelf in a different country. And I was like, oh, wow. What are the odds of this?
Yeah.
That's how they get you. If you just like, you're staying in an Airbnb, you forget to bring your phone into the bathroom, just start thumbing through Dianetics, and the next thing you know, you're, you know, burning all your money for Xenu.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Guys, I want to know, what are you playing?
I'll start things off, Resident Evil Merchant, and I want to throw Jordan into this because I know he's played through this game. I'm in the midst of playing it. I wish I'd gotten more time with it this week, but I was playing the game we'll be discussing at length. Sekiro, I'm really enjoying this game. I think it's just the combat is such a delicate dance. The animation is so great, and I just love the sense of lightness of the player character and the way you're able to zip around the environment with the grappling hook in particular. My question for you, Jordan, and this is kind of targeted towards a way FromSoft like handles their like this game and then their game design approach in general, which is item scarcity. So for instance, there's an item that you get called a snap seed, which can be used to, you know, basically dispel an apparition. But it's a relatively scarce item, and so you really have to pick your spots. And it's the kind of thing where I'm just like, I don't want to second guess any of their design decisions because they're just, these games are so immaculate and so thoughtful. And I like that you have to, like, you know, decide like that there's so many risk reward calculations that you're making as you're playing things, that item, like how many items you have actually matters. It's not like your inventory is loaded up with like fucking 1500 frost arrows like it is in other games. But like that was the kind of thing where it's like, fuck, you kind of need these items for certain fights. And then if you don't have them, you just have to like grind for them. I don't really know. Like, Jordan, what do you think about like the way that you just there just isn't much shit that you can collect in a lot of these games, or the sometimes the key items are just like a little bit harder to come by?
Yeah, I feel like I usually end FromSoft games and RPGs in general. I feel like I usually end them just stuffed to the gills with items I didn't use.
100%, yeah.
Yeah, I am so scared of using those items. I'm so scared of, like, needing them later that I will just, like, fight the same boss for 2 days without using the items because I'm afraid that I will need the item later, and then I just beat the game without having used most of them. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the lesson here, use the item.
Use the item. I was very good about that when I was playing Persona 5, which is just like, I just fucking use the shit out of items.
It's self-care. Like the item. Cancel those plans.
My entire work, my business depends on you using the item.
That's true, but I mean, like the merchants in Sekiro are not as...
Fuck, you know, those guys. those guys are scams.
Oh boy.
Oh, bad blood. It's some sort of union dispute.
Okay. I didn't know I didn't know merchants were organized. That's really interesting.
I'm a union of one.
Oh.
Okay, that's kind of counter to
it's
the idea of organized labor.
That's the point.
But those guys, they'll undercut your price. They don't give a shit about the customer.
Is there health care for the video game merchants union?
Yes, there is.
Because I know you guys fall out of a lot of
planes. For example, if you shoot me, when you see me the next time, I'm fine.
Oh, that's good.
It's a testament to great healthcare.
Is that still you? Or is that like a
kind
clone
of
you with
that?
Your memories?
When you go to sleep, is the next day Nick not Nick?
Boy, that's a real existential question. I don't know.
I know.
Yeah. You know?
No, I mean, I think about it.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, I don't know.
You got to get high with this dude sometime. Blow your mind. We were smoking out, and he's like, "Isn't it weird that money only has value because we say it has value?" I mean,
yeah.
Well, I said that.
Yeah.
Wild.
You get deep.
That's wild.
You get deep.
And you're a merchant. Your business is, you know, your trade is.
I know, but what
things.
Is that? You know, think about it.
Yeah.
What wow. is a merchant?
Shit. Great question.
Like, what? Aren't we all merchants of ideas?
Yeah. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And
currency.
It's selling in the marketplace of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right.
Beautiful.
I'm freaking high as a kite right now. This is crazy stuff.
Hell yeah, dude. If you're listening to this, I hope you blazed beforehand.
I hope you're playing it on half speed.
Yeah. Really stretch it out. Make the podcast last as long as possible.
Let me touch on Marvel Snap real yes. quick, just yes. because I took like a base almost a month off of this game, and I got wow. back into it and was playing it, and the meta has shifted. And it's one thing where, like, look, I'm really impressed by this game, and it's a lot of fun, and it's the matches are very zippy. One thing is that the way the battle passes work is that basically each season there's a new showpiece card that comes out that I think is a little bit usually is generally a little OP, and decks can be designed around it to incentivize people to buy the new card. It's good because it shakes up the meta, but there's also an element of, like, I feel like if you really are on a budget and you don't want to spend for these, for the battle passes, you're just going to miss out on key cards. And it is one of those things that makes me wonder, like, the fuck, because there's so many like guys named like Zabu or Sabu or Babu or something. I can't remember what this fucking card's name is. I'll open up my app real quick. But like that, like one of the new cards is like there's like Sarah, but it's not Sarah. Is I think Sabu, who's like a cat that boosts a bunch of your lowers the cost of a bunch of your four drops. And now the Marvel nerds are going to yell at me that it's not actually a cat. It's some fucking, it's an ancient spirit in the body of a cat. Fine. Zabu lowers your four cost cards to cost two less. And so
Zabu,
there's just
one
like
of
a
the,
bunch of.
It's one of the Inhumans, Nick. They were transformed by the Terrigen Mists, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jordan.
A cat. Oh, God. This guy thinks Zabu is a cat. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Zabu, like you know, makes all your four drops more cost effective. And so there's just like some very high tier decks that are built around this card. And so if you don't have that card, you don't have access to it. And I mean, whatever. Free to play games are always figuring out how to effectively monetize themselves. This one seems a little bit less predatory than others, but it is one of those things where I wish you could just get all the best shit and kind of keep the. I'd love to see like a card game approach where it was all like all the monetization was just purely aesthetics. It was just like, you know, different skins for cards, different card backs. It was just stuff that's, you know, that doesn't affect the gameplay. But overall, I still really enjoy it.
The Fortnite model.
I think the Fortnite model is like that's the ideal, right?
It is the ideal. And I'm glad you said it.
Jordan, what have you been playing?
What
have you been playing?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I just got done with a couple of Weiger wrecks.
Wow.
Usually, if we're talking about the Get Played host that we identify with the most, I am a Heather. I think we share many opinions every time.
Wow.
Every time on the show, Heather is about to say something and she prefaces it with, people are going to hate me for this. I'm like, I am going to agree with this 100%. So yeah, usually I kind of like the games you recommend the most, but I've been having a great time with a couple of Weiger games. Wow. Marvel Snap, like you mentioned, I've never played a card battler before. It's a blast. I'm getting a little tired of it just because I feel like I'm not getting new cards that much and I don't really want to spend the money. So it might leave the phone pretty soon, but I've had a blast with it. I finished Death's Door a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Weiger wreck, kind of a little indie Zelda-like Souls-like. Great game, great art style. But before I started Sonic, the game we're going to talk about later, I was kind of 5 hours into Horizon Forbidden West.
Ooh.
Having a great time with it. I'm kind of hot and cold on the story, and there's a lot of it, but the cool shit in that game is so cool. Like, yeah, the cool shit delivers, and I get kind of excited because I heard there's going to be some LA DLC. So I got kind of excited that there's going to be like a, you know, ruined apocalyptic LA to go through at some point. So, yeah, that kind of got me interested in playing the base game. And yeah, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. You know, some gripes about the storytelling aside.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the way you describe that of just like the cool stuff is really cool. And there's the story is good, but then there's a lot of story. It does kind of feel like you're talking about Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah, a lot of parallels. I don't think Sonic Frontiers hits the high highs that Horizon does, but yeah, similar games in a lot of ways.
I think Jordan and I are going to disagree about something later in this podcast.
we're going to find out.
My identity is agreeing with you. We have a parasocial relationship that you don't realize we have.
I realize.
Let me see if Death's Door is still on Game Pass, because if it is, yeah, it is still on Game Pass for anyone who wants to check it out. It is a fun little 10-hour game. It looks great, and the combat is very satisfying. You know what? It was a Weiger rec, but I think it's a game that Heather might enjoy. Because it is so combat focused, and the combat is pretty satisfying, even though it's fairly simple. Heather, I'm curious, what are you playing?
What am I playing? I've been thinking of selling my Steam Deck.
Wow.
I'm so angry. I'd sell it back to you, Nick.
All right, we can figure that out.
I'm so angry about it that I resent even it being on my desk. When I think about that system's limitations, both in terms of like offline play and then the way that it is kettled off from different game repositories, you know, without substantial workarounds, it's less a gaming PC and more just a front end for the Steam store, which of course everybody knows, but I don't think it really sunk in how much that is what it is. And with technologically superior handheld PCs coming out that are also untethered to the Steam store, have access to the Steam store, can play Steam games, but aren't dependent on it, I'm like, man, it's hard for me to justify holding on to this thing, especially when it makes me so angry. Have I put in tons and tons of hours into Final Fantasy Tactics Advance on the Steam Deck on my perennial attempt to beat that game? Yes. Is that the right word? Perennial? Who knows?
Perennial? Yeah, I think so.
But do I still have my Game Boy Advance cartridge and can I put it in the analog? Yes. Do I know where I am in the game on that cartridge? No. Am I interested in starting it over again? Absolutely not. But I think I can fumble through the first few battles while I figure out what I was doing 20 fucking years ago. When I'm not considering that, I'm playing Fortnite. I don't remember if the last time we recorded, I had squatted up with some people in the industry who I don't know personally, but love playing with. Shout out to my squad. You know who you are, even though I don't know what one of your names is in real life. And I'm too scared to ask because we've been playing for a while now. Also, I don't think you listen to the show, so I can just admit that.
It says here, Ben Affleck.
Ben, sounds like Ben Affleck, keeps referring to J-Lo. But we crowned 4 times in a row, and that felt like a major achievement.
Wow, like, that's amazing.
Sorry, guys, I got to go. J-Lo's calling. J-Lo needs me to do something. Who could this be? Who's this mystery man?
I got to go refill my Dunkin'.
It felt gross in some way.
I know. It's because of how I said it, but I didn't mean it in a gross way. I'm sorry.
He just means a big old iced coffee.
Yeah.
He's got to pour coffee in his butthole.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that can get Affleck off is a Dunkin' enema.
You got J-Lo right there. You still need the Dunkin' in your hole?
Yeah. I like what I like. I'm a Boston boy. I got to have my Dunkies up the butt. Okay. What voice am I doing?
But I have been playing a ton of this week's game. And given how intense my love of Fortnite is, I think that is also a nice trailer for what I'm going to say about Sonic Frontiers later in this episode. I think that's all I need to say. Man, I fucking love the My Hero Academia power-up in Fortnite. It's fucking great. Punching through a building is the best. Matt Apodaca,
what are you playing?
Oh, thank you. I feel like I'm caught in between a couple of things because Jordan mentioned Horizon Forbidden West. I'm also playing that. And I'm sort of having a little bit of like fatigue with it because I blasted through the first one pretty quick and just didn't and I liked it quite a bit. And this one is good too, but I'm not 100% in on it yet in the way that I was with God of War Ragnarok, which is, you know, right. The common criticism of that game was it's just more of 2018 God of War. And with that game, I was like, yeah, but who cares? But with this game, I'm really feeling that. Where I'm sort of like, oh, this is kind of more of the same. It still is like incredible and looks great. And like the stuff in it that's cool is really cool. But I've put it down and haven't been back to it in a little bit. Playing this game for We Play, You Play, which we'll talk about a little later, paired with our conversation last week that we had on the show, Famous Firsts, has made me go back to Jack and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Hell
what are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on my Steam Deck that I love so much. I love it. And it's playing great on there. And so much of that game I like completely forgot about. But it's like there in like the dark recesses of my brain where it's just I'm just doing like muscle memory. And it's just it's so fun. I'm like a third of the way through it. It's not very long either, but it's a blast. It's still, you know, it's aged a little bit like in the humor, not in like a bad way, but in a way that I'm not 11.
Sure.
You know, but I'm still like, these guys are fun. You know, what can you do? They're fun guys.
It's not like watching The Hangover 2, where you're just like, oh, boy, Jesus Christ. This is number one in the box office?
Yeah. This is 9 years old. Yeah. Daxter says some regrettable things.
I mean, he said he was being ironic, like that was his explanation.
Yeah,
like,
he's doing it because he knows he's not supposed to do it.
Right, right.
But it plays really well. It's just a really solid, 3D action platformer. It's a lot of fun, and
I can't believe Daxter would say those things, and Jack would stay silent.
I know, and that's sort of more of
your silence speaks volumes, Jack.
It's more of an implication on Jack than anything, really, because he's just kind of okay with it. He just lets it slide off of him. It looks like a PS2 game, but it's like very lush, very colorful. Like it's really like I don't know. It's interesting to think about the jump they made between that first one and then Jack 2 when they were like, you know what? There's going to be a bunch of fucking sand everywhere instead, and it's going to be in a shitty city, which I also liked. And I can't wait to play after I finish this one. I might be making my way through the Jacks, but that's where I'm at right now.
Good way to spend your time. Let me ask you this, because we don't need to get too in the weeds here. But I'm just curious. Like as a Steam Deck owner, you're playing an emulated PS2 game on it. Like how much work was it to get that all up and running?
It is a little bit of a pain. You just have to get into desktop mode and have either a plugged in keyboard. I have a Bluetooth like mouse and keyboard like combo thing that's all in like it's like a foldable thing that I just have in my Steam Deck case. So I just do that. I get in there. I downloaded I think it's called Chiaki, which is a sort of like a third party app that allows you to play PS5 remote play on, among other things. But that's not even how I'm playing it. I just downloaded Emu Deck is what it's called for I was just thinking about that because it is a PlayStation game that I'm playing on the Steam Deck. But if you install EmuDeck, it basically does everything for you. You just have to get the ROMs and like the ISO files in the correct like seed folders.
Right.
So that is a lot harder than just downloading something that has your games on it already. But it's not impossible. If you sort of just know what you're doing and are patient and don't want to, and have your Steam Deck not in your hands, so you don't like slam it down in frustration, I think you could do it in like a couple of hours. I don't have an extensive emulation library on my Steam Deck, but I will also specify for all the fucking cops listening that they're games that I own, bitch. And there turn it go. Off. Turn a fucking podcast off, pigs. This ain't for you. Go solve a crime or something.
Well, hey, by the way, the Steam Deck sounds pretty cool. I'd be interested, Heather.
I think buy it off. Heather, you have an opportunity here to actually make a little money on your investment. You could sell it to Weiger with the stuff you have on it. And that sort of is like an interesting thing because now it's sort of more.
But I mean, I can sell it to him with my emulators on it, I think, but I can't give him the keys to my Steam Deck.
No,
store.
You can't give him that. Yeah, who knows what he'll do with that? He's downloading Honey Pop in a second on your Steam Deck. And then it's in your library, and you can see when he's playing it.
Right.
Then you know what else is happening.
I wish fucking Sony would just come out with a fucking Steam Deck.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. Or fucking Microsoft.
It sucks. It's
like just fuck Microsoft. No, Sony.
But Microsoft one would have Game Pass. You just have fucking Game Pass games on it.
Yeah. That is true. I kind of want the Xbox One more than I want the PlayStation One, unfortunately.
I want them both. Let's get some more handhelds.
I want both. Don't get it twisted.
I mean, if they both came out tomorrow, there's no way I wouldn't buy the Sony One first.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm just going to say, just also because it would have such a better industrial design. Like, it would look so cool.
And it'd be harder to get in the long run. You could get you can get the 100%. Microsoft One in a couple weeks.
Proprietary cable, here I come.
Yeah.
This isn't a fully formed thought, but it's interesting that like over the course of like the 2010s, like the late aughts into the 2010s, we kind of went from all the publishers were like, well, games are just going to be on phones now. Consoles are dead.
Mm-hmm.
To wait, no, consoles are more popular than ever. People want something to do not on their phones.
Make them bigger, weirder shapes.
Exactly. Yeah. But then also, but handhelds, we don't need handhelds anymore. People have phones. And then now it's like, no, handhelds. People love the Switch. People love the Steam Deck. And Sony and Microsoft, Microsoft never made one. Sony abandoned it. It's just like maybe they'll get back into it. I don't know. It's kind of fascinating that people have this endless appetite for devices when everyone thought everything was going to converge onto one thing.
Vita 2, it's time. If there was a Vita 2 now that was like that, like had some sort of on demand, you know, Netflix style library of just PlayStation classics, it would not need to be new games. I would buy that in 1 second. I would 1,000%. I would stand in a virtual queue for a day to get one.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, look, we got a big game to talk about This month's We Play You Play is Sonic Frontiers, developed by Sonic Team, published by Sega, directed by Morio Kishimoto, and released on November 8th of 2022, so it's pretty new. I'm going to start things here with a pretty loaded question that I think will just kind of take the temperature of the panel. Is this game awesome?
Yes.
My answer is yes. Yeah, my opinion about it changes from second to second. Mm-hmm. Sometimes right. I am like, what a wonky, broken ass game. And then 1 second later, I will be like, fuck, yeah! Like, it's like the chaotic person you dated in college. It is just like, you know, it's wild. I cannot tell how I'm going to feel about it second to second.
Apodaca hasn't said Matt, anything yet.
Here's mine.
always the stoic, thoughtful one. Matt Apodaca.
Yes. I asked myself that question as I was playing this game, and I think I land closest to Heather, but kind of maybe between Jordan and Heather, because I definitely have my reservations with it. But there are times when I'm just like, fuck, this feels so fluid. And it's got so many like cool ideas, and just like they've tried Sonic in 3D so many times and it's never really worked. And this one feels like kind of janky, but also at times it feels just absolutely glorious. And I don't know. I mean, like there's also a thing of just like, this is an insane idea to just say like, hey, we're going to make Breath of the Wild. We're going to make Shadow of the Colossus, but we're going to put Sonic as the player character. It's kind of just like a bonkers idea that tonally sometimes just absolutely does not make sense at all. But then when you're playing it, you're like, wait, this feels so incredible. And this is so, I'm just engaged by every second of this. I'm all over the place, but I want to keep fucking playing it. I don't know, Heather.
Well, that's because it solves a problem of Breath of the Wild and Shadow of the Colossus, which is it takes too fucking long to get anywhere. And in Sonic Frontiers, right. Like, if I was to mod those games, I would make the characters fast. Because the joy of traversal, but Breath of the Wild isn't Death Stranding, right? Yeah, there's shit to like interact with, but I shouldn't have to take so long to get from one thing. Like, as soon as I see something interesting on the horizon, I should be able to fucking boost my way there. So the first thing I did in Sonic Frontiers was dump everything I had into speed. And I was playing on hard. I was so fucking weak, but I was so fast. Like, Matt complained on text about having to take on the boss like multiple times. That asshole had no shot against me, because by the time I got to our first Titan, I was so fast that it was kind of broken. Like, it was just not, there was no congress between what I was supposed to be doing with that boss and what I was doing with the boss. And then when I discovered that if you max out your rings, you can get even faster, I took all of my ring capacity and dropped it, because that meant that it took fewer rings for me to get super fast. What a fun game.
It is extremely fun. And that's the thing. When it's fun, it's so fun.
It really is.
Like, I'm having a fucking blast. So as Jordan mentioned earlier, you're running through this open world, and
the music
mm-hmm. is great. There's like a, you know, the running around the overworld music is this like kind of peaceful, kind of lonesome, mournful music, and then you start to fight a boss and like a fucking Evanescence song kicks in. Like,
yes.
It takes you through the pantheon of emotions in a way that music in a game has not for me in a long time.
That boss theme has a part where it's like an Evanescence song. And then it's just like, wait, this just has a guitar solo from Dragon Force. It just like turns into fucking speed metal. I was like, this is insane.
I shared the boss theme, I think. We can play a little bit of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me play first. I want to play some overworld music. So there are different. You start off and I had the same feeling you did, Heather, when we talked about our text. When you get to another island, I'm like, oh shit, this overworld is vast.
Yeah,
you start on one island that feels like the whole game space, and then you get to a second island that's more desert themed and has its own sort of aesthetic. But the music that's playing is. Again, it's just like, this is Sonic, so of course it's taking itself way too fucking seriously, and it's stupid, but it's also kind of awesome. Here's some of the audio from the first island. It's just, you're a blue hedgehog running around, collecting rings, and like, spin dashing at robots, and the music that's playing is like Philip Glass's score from The Truman Show. But it's great.
There's no reason this game should work, and it.
Yeah.
So what the thing that Sonic 2D makes you feel, and you don't know it, is that you are just slightly out of control. Like right. Mm-hmm. you're moving a little bit too fast. You always dead end into spikes unless you've memorized the game, right? So you're always a little like, oh, which is what it feels like to go super fast in a car or on a skateboard or something. You're like, oh no, like a little bit too fast. And that this game captures that madness even when you're on rails. You're like,
yeah, which,
I don't,
you're on a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of rail grinding in this game.
Going back to something Heather was saying about speed earlier, and I think this also like speaks to the open world design of this game, is when you're talking about Breath of the Wild, yeah, the world is vast. It's fun to ride your horsey around. It's fun to climb, but you reach a certain point where you're like unlocking the various Sheikah towers, whatever they're called, and then you're just fast traveling like you are in other open world games. I don't believe, and I could be wrong, I don't think this game really has fast travel.
Yeah,
right?
Does. You just hold down boost. Am I right? No,
that's what I mean. It's like, it's not fast travel.
Sonic
as we go
Infinite
in the open world
fast
sense.
Travel, baby.
Okay, all right. You guys are making my point for me, which is that he moves fast.
No, you're
fast
wrong,
enough.
Nick.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed. Sonic is fucking fast, dude. Yeah.
You don't go into a world map and like teleport to another location. You just run around really fast, or like new rails open up that connect different portions of the map, and you can grind on those super fast. And there's a point where it's like, this kind of just works. Like, yeah. You kind of don't really need fast travel. It's kind of fun to just have this all be continuous.
There is a fast travel item that you can fish up in the fishing mini game, which we'll touch on later. Which
I was going to get to that.
Which is a scroll that allows
fishing,
you.
Heather, I love fishing with you.
You want to
borrow my pole? You can fish with me. Give
guys,
me purple coins and
I
you
played
can
with the Japanese language
meat.
Check. Like, you all just sound like idiots. Like, I don't know what you're referencing.
You don't recognize Big the Cat's famous dumb guy voice?
Can I also say that the Japanese language track, the subtitles don't match at all what they're saying?
That's
so
great.
Like the script is very different between the two localizations. Very weird. But you can fish up a scroll that lets you fast travel to the power-up guys, whose names
yes.
I don't remember because I don't fucking care. And that's, as far as I know, the only fast
the
travel items that you can get. The rest
oh, you
is
mean the
literally...
Koroks? Oh, no, sorry. The Cocos. Okay.
The Cocos. Yeah, Koroks. What are you talking about? There's these little Cocos that are kind of like the... they're little guys that you collect, and then you bring them over to a Coco chieftain, and then by rescuing his mates, he's lets you upgrade your rings or your power or your speed and what have you. But yes, so this is another thing that speaks to what you're talking about, the fishing minigame, because I found that same thing. I found the scroll. I went to Big the Cat's fishing world. And I almost called him Big the Fat. He's a fat guy. He's a fat cat. He knows.
He's a thick king.
His name is Big.
Weiger.
Yeah.
He's a thick king.
I'm comfortable with my body type.
I'm not shaming you, Big the Cat.
A lot of people find this attractive.
I've seen the fan art. Big the Cat, you go fish
it's
with
hard
Big
to
the
tell
Cat.
When I'm pregnant. But I always am. Every character in this game is always pregnant.
and you're fishing and you fish up a map, like Heather was saying, a scroll that lets you like fast travel to just one particular person, like one particular NPC. And then that is a different map that you find on every island. And it just sort of is one of those things like, this just strikes me as so over-designed and clunky. Like, why do I need to find a map item during a fishing minigame to be able to fast travel to one specific NPC when I can't fast travel anywhere else? And it's kind of like a microcosm for just like so many of the bizarre decisions that went into this game. But that said, a lot of stuff that I really, really like. I want to get back to the boss theme because Heather mentioned it and you wanted to play it. So I've got it right here. Let's play a little bit of this song. This is the Evanescence Sound Alike, which plays when you are battling the first of the Titans.
You are supersonic during this sequence.
You are supersonic fighting a kaiju who is like the size of a building. It's fucking insane. And great.
Here's the thing about this too. There, you know, I'm sort of softer on this game, I think, than the rest of the panel. I lit up when I heard that song. I fucking love
it. It's great. It's great. And it's awesome. And the way this boss fight transpires is that you've got this colossus-sized titan. You're in this...
I think it's worth mentioning that this colossus is named Giganto.
Giganto,
just the most fucking phoned-in, let's-go-to-lunch name I've ever seen for anything.
Dominated Lucha Libre in the 1970s. Now he's a boss in Sonic Frontiers. So you run, and this is a trick they do throughout the game is like this massive creature, this massive like robot that you run up, like you run up it, you scale its surface, which is like, okay, this is really cool in theory, but it also, cause the camera is really janky, it like feels a little clunky. But it is cool, and you get to the top of it, and then you get the Chaos Emerald that lets you turn into Supersonic, and then you're battling him as Supersonic, which feels like a fucking, like a Zone of the Enders fight.
I don't know if you guys experienced this because I had boosted so much, but I hit, like, the leg of that Titan and then was about 300 feet in the air above it. Like, just, like, ran... hit his knee, launched, and then had to like very, very calmly control my descent back onto his head.
Yeah, that sounds like how you do it. I think if you have not jacked yourself with all your speed points, when you get to it, you can kind of launch up a little bit, and then you have to do that kind of tedious open world game climbing. Like for some reason, Sonic's, you know, climbing is not fast. It's, you know... Anyway, so that, and I think that is something about these open world games that people complain about a lot. And in this game, it feels really weird. So I guess the secret is just jack your speed to the point where you launch above everything and never have to climb.
Some of the movement feels really good, and the climbing in particular feels extremely clunky. And I sometimes was like, I feel like I'm going in the wrong direction. That I'm trying to input one direction, and it feels like Sonic is going someplace else. It was like that was extremely awkward and clunky. And to me, it kind of just falls under the same thing of like I feel like this game was rushed. The feeling that I have is like there's a bunch of shit in here where it's just a little buggy, it's a little unpolished. The pop-in, which is a thing that is really egregious for an open world game, but there's so much pop-in as you're running around, like just like objects like popping into the existence over the horizon as you approach them, and like that's just a lot of the stuff just feels like, man, there's just a final coat of polish that this game needed, or like another 6 months in development that this game needed that it didn't have.
I don't think it did. I think this is maximum Sonic. I think that the baldness of how it rips off other games, like, made me rethink Sonic's relationship to other games. And Sonic the Hedgehog is just an answer to Mario, right? It's like he jumps on top of enemies. Like the mechanics are the same. He's just faster. Okay. So it makes sense that Sonic Frontiers is like, what games have worked in the last few years? And can we make that faster? And like a ROM hack of those games, the glitchiness and the, like, sometimes you don't even know where Sonic is on the screen is, I think, fundamental to the experience.
I love this take. This is the greatest take, by the way.
If you play,
it should be broken.
If you play Sonic 2 and you go fast enough, you aren't on screen anymore. And that game is a classic. 10 out of 10. People are like, Sonic 2, pinnacle of the series. But the same thing happens in this game and people are like, ah, this sucks. I don't like it. No, that's the experience. It's like, where the fuck is he?
And I could get on board with this. And I think it is a little bit like Death Stranding, which took me a little bit to lock into. I love that game, but it took me a while. And the thing about it that was frustrating is that, like, this is frustrating and this is hard. Like, I'm falling down, I'm tripping over rocks. And, you know, once you play that game more, it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of the point. There's this kind of macro, you know, theme of like, this is how crushing modern life is. This is how, you know,
sure,
our bad economy and, you know, all of this information being beamed into our brains. This is how overwhelming life feels now. And yeah, I think if you kind of take that same logic and apply it to Sonic, it's like, what does it feel like to be out of control? And I think if that is the case, then yes, this is the best example of that ever in video games.
No, I think that I agree with. But what I'm going to say, when I'm talking about polish, I'm talking about just like how some of this game is just broken and buggy. Like to the point of like, this cutscene is playing and a boss health bar is still on screen.
Sure.
Or objectives consistently remaining on screen during cutscenes.
Yeah,
that's just like an absence of polish. And I had a few times where I just fell out of the world. I just fell through the floor and into oblivion. And so what Heather's talking about in terms of like, yes, it having this incredible sense of speed and like when you're grinding or when you're flying through one of the levels in cyberspace, not the open world, one of the more linear levels, like that, those feelings are great. But like, you know, when I'm just like sort of running around and I see items in the distance, because the chest that it's contained in has not yet been drawn on screen, like that streaks me the thing of like, this is just a failing of this is just something they either needed more time or more resources, or they didn't quite have the technical ability with this game's development cycle to pull this off. It's just like it's at times like a little bit too ambitious, but its ambition is also what makes it great. So I don't know.
Fair. Those are fair complaints.
The skill tree is a thing where I'm just like, this feels like they threw in a skill tree because they know open world games have skill trees. And it's kind of a fake skill tree because it only branches twice and the skills are so gated, right, where it's like, okay, this skill costs, whatever, I can't remember. There's like 18 currencies.
God,
in this game.
Yeah, so many currencies.
Yeah. This one costs, you know, whatever.
Love it.
More collectibles.
Eight
I want to collect
coins.
Fish. I want to collect gems. I want to collect flaming metals to free Knuckles.
Did at any
Hearts,
point you guys just
seeds.
Start learning, realizing that if you just draw circles with Sonic, you can just get infinite currency?
Yes.
Well, that's
that.
I like that. when you're drawing Psy loops, it's like, which is what
the
Psy there's
loop
an ability
is
where you
the
hold Psy down
loop
a button.
Is a really, really fun mechanic.
Yeah, you run in a circle and it creates this sort of zippy trail behind you. And then once you connect it, it usually spawns a bunch of rings. And if you can use it against enemies or against obstacles to affect the environment. And like, it's really fun and it's really cool. And it's a great way of taking advantage of Sonic's core attribute of speed.
You can
mobility.
Also build mini Psy loops into your combat using the skill tree. Like you can unlock I played this game a lot, guys. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll like do a micro Psy loop around a character while fighting them. The combat system is fucking ridiculous. Like You have a sense of what you're supposed to do, but you also can be really good if you just mash the buttons in random sequences.
Yes.
And the more rapidly you randomize that sequence, the more insane the shit on screen that Sonic does. I really had a 3D blast playing this game.
About the combat, but my thought was, I we're on the same page here, because the combat is both overly complicated and brainless. like mm-hmm. because it looks fucking awesome. A lot of the animations are really cool. The way he zips around, the way he'll like, you know, he'll go into a stomp, like you can go into stomps, you can go into like kicks, you can throw projectiles, you can do all these things in kind of this dizzying flurry of air combos.
He's been doing kind of melee combat for a while now, but it's still weird for me to see Sonic punch someone, to just see
it's
him
a little
punch.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it was also weird when Shadow the Hedgehog just pulled out a gun and shot at cops. but this is also weird just to see Sonic run up and punch a robot.
Yeah. So like what one thing that happens in the combat, I agree with you. The is like I'm picking up a controller, so I'm remembering how it works. So like the parry system is, for some reason, you have to hold both. You have to hold two shoulder buttons to parry. But it's but like the parry is not a timed thing. It's a hold. So it's like a block. So if you're just holding both shoulder buttons, two shoulder buttons, you will, and you get hit by an enemy, you will parry.
Oh, is that how that
and
works?
And then to counterattack.
I totally was trying to release the button when I was about to get hit.
Yeah.
No, you were trying too hard. Well, you're not supposed to think at all.
And this is the
just
thing.
Hold the buttons down.
Does Sonic need to parry? Like, I don't think he needs to. I think there's, you were talking about this earlier as being like an over-designed thing. And I think that falls into it. I think I have not had a lot of experience with Sonic. So this is my first, you know, I guess we played 06 a little bit. We did.
Yeah, how come Sonic
Shadow
doesn't kiss any human women in this?
This is sort of my biggest.
I mean,
complaint.
I liked the game, but I'm like, when's he gonna lock lips with a human being?
There is a haunted child.
Yeah, yes.
So it's got that going for
it. That haunted child should anything ever happen to the Resident Evil merchant? God forbid.
Yes.
I think the haunted child could be a new Heather character. Just constantly telling you you're going to die.
I got to listen to the English track, because that is not how she spoke in the Japanese
track. That's so funny. But the over-design of this is like, you have to get these gears to unlock the ability to get
another curse.
Yeah, gears. Into gears. There's seeds. There's hearts. There's
You got to get the gears so you can do the play a level, so you can get keys.
Get keys, and the keys unlock chaos emeralds, and the chaos emeralds unlock.
Yeah. And then
dinosaur bones. It's like, whatever.
To speak to Amy, you have to get hearts. And it's like, why am I collecting so many things just to do this? I was getting so frustrated because I'm like, okay, I need how many hearts do I need to get to talk to Amy? I need two. Where am I going to go? I have to go so far in this map now to be like, I got to find just two more, because they're not instant drops. They're around, but like, you have to kind of look for them. And so I just couldn't believe how many things
Amy,
you have to do.
For instance, yes. or whatever NPC, they're all of Sonic's shitty friends are eventually represented as like,
I'm not
like,
shitty, Nick. I'm a great guy. I let you borrow my rod when you come to my lagoon.
Big's the only one that I really like.
Sorry, Big. Big is also the one who's not like a digital ghost. Right. So they're all like trapped in a cyberspace, and they're trying to reconstitute themselves in the physical realm. And by doing that, you collect a bunch of whatever their token is. So for Amy, it's a bunch of hearts. For Knuckles, it's a bunch of medals.
Flaming military medals.
Yeah.
So you have to collect all these things. So it is in some sense kind of like an egregious like rare N64 game level collectathon. But I think that's also because because of Sonic's speed, these environments have to be so vast. These open world environments, that might be part of why we're seeing so much popping as well. So they need to find a way to fill these environments. And they're like, well, shit, we'll just give you a bunch of shit to collect, because otherwise, like, what's the reason of running all the fuck all over this map? It's going to feel very vast and empty. But it is a thing where it just becomes it becomes kind of overwhelming and daunting. And then also, like what you're talking about. So you go get Amy a bunch of hearts. Then she'll like just move arbitrarily to another section of the map.
Yes.
And you have to go find her over there. And so I had a number of situations where I like had so many hearts where like I found Amy, and then my next objective was
to find Amy. And then you're just
go find
running
her
down
again.
The map and talking to her again.
I was talking to you.
Yeah. Couldn't you tell me how sad the Cocos make you last time? And the Cocos died before they went to space?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think the
plot is wild.
There's clearly an intended way to play this game.
Yes.
And it sounds like none of us managed that. Like, I thought that the problem with why I kept getting to Amy and just dumping a million hearts into her and then dumping a million into the next one was because I was doing something sequence breaking. But I dumped all my points into speed. It doesn't sound like you guys did that. So I feel like whatever it is they wanted us to do, none of us were found it. Like by the time I'm talking to Knuckles on the second island, it's like when I first approach him, it's like you need like 50 of his, I don't know, like military medals in order to unlock talking to Knuckles. And once I'm like, oh, I just want to run around the fucking island, kill everything I can. All right. By the time I got back to Knuckles, it was like, okay, here's 50. Yeah, I'll go unlock you here. Yep. Okay, there's 50 more. I'll go over here. I'll unlock 50 more. It's whatever it is they want you to do. That's a mystery.
Yeah. Hard to say.
Hard to say.
Can we talk about the Sonic voice acting choices?
Yes.
Man, I played in Japanese, but there was talk on the thread about Sonic's voice acting. So I'd love to hear a sample if we have one.
Yeah, it's interesting. So in previous Sonic games where he's voiced, he seems to have a real like 90s cartoon character vibe. Like, all right, dudes, we got it. I'm going to get some chili dogs and then go fast. I from one of these games we played, there was a recurring voice clip when you got hit that said, "It's no use."
Oh,
and
that
lives in my brain. So every time I like can't find a parking space, I just think, "It's no use." And it seems like they kind of went the other way with the English voice track anyway, of Sonic being just very blasé. He's kind of just this guy. He kind of just talks like this. And he's kind of low energy, and he sounds like he's about to tell you something he just heard on the Joe Rogan podcast.
He sounds like this.
I need to find a way to restore Amy.
Whoa!
I could really use her help finding Tails.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
I didn't need to get the vaccine because I get too much vitamin D. Oh. Okay, well. I submerge my body in cold water every day.
It feels like they took a Pratt Mario approach.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like they were just kind of like preemptive and be like, okay, we just want to like a kind of very generic sounding Sonic.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the vibe of the Japanese Sonic?
Anime hero.
Green Hill.
He just sounds like standard anime hero.
Yeah. This
certainly feels like he's emoting more.
This is more right to me. This is a little less shocking than the kind of blasé barista that they got to do in Sonic in English.
Can we talk a little bit about the levels, like the actual like linear levels that you go to? Because I think I like the open world stuff more, but these are pretty good 3D Sonic levels. And they're ones where you're both running into the camera and they're also, running away from the camera, running towards the screen. And there's also ones that are side scrolling, the kind of 2.5D treatment. I think they both are just like, they kind of capture that Sonic level design, linear level design of like, there's some branching paths. There's some jumps you can make or miss that affect your trajectory. You're going through and you're collecting, like trying to collect 5 red coins and, you know, as many rings as you can, trying to meet a certain threshold of time, hitting S rank in terms of speed. If you do all these things, you get a whole bunch of keys, which you can use to unlock whatever the fuck. But it's like, I thought those levels were really fun. When I got to the desert island, which is like the second big biome, I felt like I was running around for 90 minutes before I even found another level. I was like some of the, like, it feels like the first, I'm curious if the other islands are like this, but like, it feels like the first island is a little bit more jam packed with content. And then as they were going, and this again makes me think that maybe the development was rushed, that they kind of scaled up the open world aspect and were like, well, shit, we don't have enough levels to fill all this. Or they ended up cutting levels in development. But it's like, I feel like there were like large sections of this game where it's just like, I'm just between levels. I'm like, I don't know, but I like the levels themselves, if all that makes sense.
There was a level in that sand island that was extremely frustrating to play and felt it felt like classic level, like bad but good level design. There was one that I just flat out couldn't beat because I could not get any sense of where Sonic was supposed to be jumping after a certain point, like just lost. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll go this way. And I boost and there's nothing over there, and I fall to my death over and over and over again, and eventually just gave up. But you don't need to do all of those levels in order to progress through the game. You can skip, because there's so much currency, you can skip huge portions of the game in order to fight things. I was really like the side scrolling and classic levels were my least favorite part of the game. I loved running around the open world, especially because his little feet made the great sound.
Yeah.
Like when he's running on grass.
I do like the feet sounds. The feet sounds.
And when he's in sand, it's. Oh, it's so good. And he leaves footprints behind him. Nice.
Yeah, that is cool.
Just for nostalgia factor, some of those side-scrolling levels are supposed to kind of remind you of classic Sonic levels. And I have a lot of Sonic nostalgia, being a Genesis kid. And so, yeah, so that was really fun to see kind of some of those you know, classic level designs.
There's Metal Sonic level. There's like a...
Oh, really?
Green Hill.
That's cool.
Green Hill adjacent levels. It's like, oh, okay, great. But nothing beats that overworld.
Whew. Heather is correct. That's it distilled. It's just like I like some of the levels. They kind of dot the landscape erratically. But yeah, running in the open world is so much more fun. And I think we also kind of haven't really adequately captured. It's tough to do so, I think, unless you're playing it. But just like what it feels to like sort of run, like the kind of obstacle course feel of the open world. Because it's not just like running around plains. It's like also you'll run into like, oh, here's a little bouncy pad that will knock me up into the air. And then while I'm in the air, I will be able to, you know, target lock onto another bouncy pad that will launch me over this way. That'll land me onto a rail. That rail will set me onto a booster, which will lead me to climb something. And at the tippy top of this little, like, you know, 90-second gauntlet, there will be some sort of reward. All those little segments are just so fun. And a lot of times they feel just like dizzyingly fluid.
I love those two.
So that shit is really, really cool. And that's almost like, expanding on what Heather was saying, I almost wondered if like, is that just should that have just been the substitute for the linear levels that we go into? But then again, also I bet someone at Sega was like, no, there have to be levels. What are we talking about? So I don't know. I don't know what to think about this game. I think my overall take is that it is awesome. It's a mess. It feels unfinished, but it's so ambitious and weird that I'm really glad it exists in this state. And I was never bored playing it. I was never like, oh, God, I have to play more Sonic Frontiers. I was always like, I wonder what this fucking insane game is going to throw at me next.
I will give Sonic the highest praise that I can. And that praise is, it made me annoyed that Fortnite didn't move faster.
Wow.
Like, I went from Sonic to Fortnite and I was like, ugh, these guys are slow. What a bummer. Like, I wish there was speed boosting mechanics in Fortnite because of how much I liked traversal in Sonic Frontiers. It's the biggest praise I can give that game.
Does it seem like maybe... I like this game a lot, but it seems like maybe we got a better Sonic game earlier last year. Is Neon White the best recent Sonic game?
Mm. Boy, that's a great call. I mean, Neon White is so fun and accomplishes that sense of speed so well. I mean, it is first person, and I feel like just people thinking of in terms of mascot platformers, they feel like I have to see my guy. But but Neon White is like those short, compact levels, and like grinding for an S rank in Neon White is so much more fun than like trying to get an S rank in any of the weird levels in Sonic Frontiers. So I think in terms of, yeah, just like a fast platformer, that's definitely a better game.
It has speed. It has precise platforming. It has horniness.
Yeah. It's very horny. Neon White was great. Matt, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, a big complaint I've had about Sonic in general, and you're going to laugh, is I think he's too fast. Mm. I think...
It's a hot take.
I did laugh.
A lot of hot takes in this episode.
I think he's too fast. It's never really clicked for me.
Slow down. Stop looking at your phone, Sonic.
Yeah. You know, take the big the cat approach and just chill out, just vibe out, man. Mm-hmm. That's something about him that I've never
it's
really liked.
5 o'clock somewhere, Sonic.
He's always fucking drunk. We know it. He's always cracking a cold one.
Don't judge me. I'm just having fun.
And I won't judge. But as a kid, I was like, I can't keep up with this guy. There's too much going around. It sort of would make me sick. I didn't have that problem with this, but there was just. I just felt like there was really just too much going on. I could have used a few less currencies, a few less different systems in mechanics and stuff.
Yeah,
and just
for sure.
I wouldn't have minded if it was just honestly, Crash style, just a room with a bunch of portals in it or whatever, or wherever these fucking towers are. And just go and do these levels. Because the levels are like the thing that I can do that I like the best. I don't know if I need to like be keeping up with like, oh, I need to have enough hearts so I can speak to Amy or enough fucking medals or whatever to talk to Knuckles. That's all too much for me. And then, I mean, Sonic running up the leg of a fucking kaiju. I was like, what are we doing? Just make him go in a loop. That's all I want. All I want is him in a fucking loop.
Simple man.
I don't
want to drink
any
a cold
other
glass
shit.
Of milk and make Sonic go in a loop.
Yeah. You used to be able to keep your fucking doors unlocked, and now wow. Sonic's running up a fucking kaiju.
Okay,
all
right.
All these bandicoots out here taking our jobs.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. This wasn't for me. I did recognize in it that there are things in it that are funny and fun. You know, flying, or you can fucking fly in this thing. You're supersonic and you're flying, fighting this thing. I was like, okay, this is funny. This is like crazy, but it's just it was just maybe a little too much for me and not my cup of tea. But I don't begrudge anyone.
Weirdly, you complaining about the game made me like it more.
That's fine. I think
I'm like,
you
yeah,
know,
that sounds cool.
And like, there's stuff in it that I was like, this is fun. Cause like, you know, I did my due diligence and put, you know, some hours into it. And I was like, I'm not enjoying this, but I didn't enjoy it enough to say that I like it. And I didn't not enjoy it enough to say that I hate it. I'm just sort of like, I don't know what this was. And it's, I guess it just is what it is.
That's the Sonic Frontiers experience.
Yeah.
I think that's whether you like it or dislike it. I think that's you just kind of leave a little confused.
Yeah.
This feels like one where, you know, I would say to anyone out there who hasn't already played it and is curious, I would feel better about playing this game in this state if it was if I'd bought it on sale or if it was, you know, on Game Pass or something. So this might be one to see if it wait and see if it goes to a, you know, comes to PlayStation Plus or or Game Pass or something before taking the plunge, or you find a used copy on sale at GameStop or something. But it is I think worth playing because it's just fascinating. And I'm glad we covered it.
10 out of 10 keys, 10 out of 10 chips, 10 out of 10 gears, 10 out of 10
spirit
nuts, 10 out of 10 hearts, 10 out of 10 medals, 10 out of 10. Wow, you caught a swordfish.
Okay, I have one more thing to say about Big the Cat, which I touched on earlier.
Visible testicles.
There's yeah, all out there.
Very weird.
And four. It's strange. So there's fishing there. You catch fish. You can also roast meat. There's a meat roasting minigame.
Oh, man,
there.
I haven't roasted the meat yet.
So I assumed, okay, I caught this swordfish. The meat roasting will be roasting this swordfish, and I'll get some sort of thing for it. No, it's unrelated meat. Big the Cat just has meat there, and you're just roasting his meat for him.
Ooh.
And you get you get prizes for it. It's like, why is this element also in here? I don't know. I was so confused by it. And again, I've used the word microcosm already, but it's just a microcosm for this game of just like, what is this doing here? What's going on? But I'm kind of having fun roasting the meat.
It's really funny when Sonic catches a fish. There's this very anime, like fast zoom on his eyes, and a bolt of lightning goes behind him. That's very, very funny. To add those anime effects to just like catching a fish.
It's like the Persona 5 eyes close up that happens, like with like a little ting. It's like that feeling, but just when you catch a fish. And then you can roast meat afterwards. It's time for the You Play of our We Play, You Play. It's your review crew, the Ryu Crew.
Ryu Crew. Ryu Crew.
Hello, Logan!
All right, this is, these are all sourced from our Discord, and you can find the link to our Discord in the episode description, and I'll go ahead and say it right now, too. discord.gg/getplayed.
Wow.
So here we go. This one's from Six Wire, and they write, "It's the first great 3D Sonic game."
I don't think that's a crazy take. I think it's the best 3D Sonic game, right? It's like none of the Sonic games have 3D Sonic games have really, really worked. I have a lot of fondness for Sonic Adventures and Sonic Adventures 2. I have a feeling those games haven't aged great, but this one is like, this is a game. This is a fucking video.
Yeah.
I don't hate that take.
Yeah, I have fondness for Sonic Adventures, but I have not played it since since the Dreamcast days. So I think you're probably right, Nick. It probably doesn't hold up super well, but I did have a nice time with those games.
This next one is from Koopa Troopa, and they write, "Gotta review fast. Sonic Frontiers really captures what is unique about Sonic when compared to other characters like Mario. I don't think there's really anything quite like seeing a little hedgehog guy flying around fighting an Eva-like machine to music that absolutely shreds." What? and this is not the only comparison to
that's great.
Eva's in the Discord chat. I'm going to share my screen here so you guys can see this other comment that was left here. This one's this be tie, says I. TBH didn't play it, but this needs to be talked about. These character designs are very similar to Angel's for Evangelion.
Yeah, these are pretty. I mean, that's pretty one to one. I mean, look, Big the Cat is just fucking Totoro. This is a Sonic thing. They borrow a lot.
What do you want? If not, Sonic fighting the angels to the soundtrack of Breath of the Wild.
Like, yeah, nobody's saying it's bad.
What are so fucking good. And it is really tropey, but also like it feels classic in some way that I couldn't wrap my head around. It feels like the way I used to feel playing video games. Sure. Whereas, you know, you play your God of Wars or your... or even your cyberpunks, and you're like, this feels like a now, but Sonic Frontiers feels like an old in the way that I used to feel when I played games when I was younger. That's what I think.
Yeah.
This next one's from Murder Donut.
I'm on board. Yeah.
There's so much random stuff in it, I haven't decided what I like and what I don't like yet. But I'm hoping that the stuff I don't like isn't so much required for forward progress. Also, I got it from the library, so free game.
Wow.
That's the fucking hack.
That's
right,
the headline.
There. You get it from the library.
Yeah.
I always forget you can just get a game from the library.
Can you?
Yeah.
You can. Certain libraries. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You got everyone.
That's a
get
great,
a library
that's
card.
A great way to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's one from Hail to the Ging. Good at everything, not great at anything.
That's pretty
perfect. Pretty good. Pretty spot on, I think. Yeah. This one's from The Odd Tech. Definitely the best 3D Sonic in a while. The writing in VO is terrible, and the open world on Rails part breaks a lot, but the rest is a solid 3D Sonic.
Yeah, interesting about the writing. The plot is so bananas, despite having the very, very familiar video game trope of there was a race here before us, and we're discovering their tech. That is the plot of every other video game, I feel like.
Yes.
We could probably go around and name 10 between us. But there is this kind of weird element of like, okay, some characters are trapped in another dimension, and it's such a wacky plot, kind of coupled with the fact that it's a little unclear on what you have to do at any given second. And it's kind of mirrored in the plot. Sometimes Amy will be talking to Sonic, and you know, you'll have collected something and it unlocks something, and he'll say, well, that worked for some reason. And it's just like, yeah, even he doesn't really know what's going on. He'll even comment of like, it just kind of feels like I should be doing this. And that is either like very lazy or kind of genius. Of like, I guess that's why we do anything in a video game. It just kind of feels like we should. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the best part of the writing.
I got two more sort of quick ones right here. So this one's from Boise's. I can't decide if this is the ugliest game I've ever played or the most beautiful.
Listen to these, like, these comments are getting at something that's like, man, this game. So I would rather you feel this way about a game than that you're like, this is great. I had a good time. It, like, people are like, is this the most beautiful game I've ever played? Or Mary sat down on the couch next to me, looked at it and went, this looks so stupid.
It's the greatest case for our video games art yet, because that's how people talk about art, right? Like they'll look at a painting or something and being like, oh, I don't know if this David Hockney sprinklers painting is for me. And then somebody will be like, this is the best painting I've ever seen.
Look at Apodaca with the Hockney reference.
Did I go with the one artist I know by name because that is my favorite painting? Absolutely. and then finally, from Playing Card Fiend, it has metal in the soundtrack. 10 out of 10. Have not played this game. A lot of really funny ones today. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, that's this week's Get Played. Links to our Discord, Twitch, and social media are in the episode description. And our engineering is by Jordan Duffy, Jordan K. Duffy on Instagram. Also, check out our premium show, Get Animated. Heather, we're still making our way through the rebuilds of Evangelion.
Yes, we're watching the Evangelion rebuilds, and I believe our next one is Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0. Bye-bye, all of Evangelion, thrice upon a time. You can hear our wild takes on that series, and also our upcoming anime coverage of, can I announce it, guys?
Yeah, why not?
Blue Lock. We're going to be covering Blue Lock on Get Animated. You can subscribe on patreon.com/getplayed, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the URL. Jordan Morris, thank you for playing Sonic Frontiers. I feel less bad about this one because I think this is an interesting game. Oftentimes we're subjecting you to some real garbage, but I think this was an interesting one to play through and discuss.
We're not subjecting him to garbage. Sonic Team has been subjecting him to garbage.
It's not our fault.
And the one and guy finally, went to jail for it, right? The one guy hauled him off the jail.
We're burying you under the jail for what you've done to Sonic.
No, yeah. No, I always have a fun time talking with you guys. You guys are a blast. Yes, I have played some real piles of shit to earn the privilege of talking with you. But this one is, I think a lot of fun in a lot of ways. So, and really interesting, really fun to talk about. So, yeah, this was a hoot.
Check out Chilling Adventures Presents Pop's Chocolate Shop of Horrors that releases March 22nd, but you can pre-order it now at your local comic shop. Jordan, tell us about Pop's Chocolate Shop of Horrors and anything else you want to plug.
So this is from the world of Archie Comics. If you're not a regular reader of Archie, maybe you don't know this. It's kind of cool. They do a horror anthology every month where they put the popular Archie characters you know and love into some truly fucked up horror scenarios. It's a great line of comics. I'm a huge fan. And these are three spooky stories set in the famous diner from the Archie universe. A lot of great writers, a lot of great artists contributed to this. A couple of cool covers if you're a cover collector. You can pre-order that now. Pre-orders very helpful for comics. Go down to your local comic shop and ask them for Pop's Chocolate Shop of Horrors, March 22nd.
Check that out. And Jordan, as always, every time you guest on the podcast, we have to end it by saying, you got played.
And it's I love being played, Nick. that's my fucking secret, man. I love getting played. Play me more.